Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining us for our media call today. You probably have already heard and know that the president has released his fiscal budget for 2015, and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is in here in the studio, and he's going to be discussing the president's FY15 budget. Reporters, if you want to ask a question of the secretary, he's here. Let us know by pressing *1 on your touch-tone phone to do that. And now I turn it over to the secretary. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Susan. Thanks very much, and thanks to everybody joining the call. I want to take a few minutes of your time to sort of lay out the challenge that this department has at this point in time. Obviously, with the passage of a comprehensive farm bill, we are in the process of implementing the provisions of that over 900-page bill. Compounding our challenge is the recently released Ag Census and its findings. With fewer farms in the country today, a shrinking middle both in terms of the size of operations and in terms of income-producing operations in agriculture, the aging nature of the farm population places a responsibility on the department to for farmers and ranchers to preserve profitability for large-scale commercial operations, to expand mid-sized operations, and to assist small and beginning operations. At the same time, the rural economy faces a continued challenge of high poverty rates in many areas, limited economic opportunity, and declining populations. That requires the department to focus its effort on those high poverty areas, those persistently poor areas, and to help to revitalize the rural economy. Climate is changing, which is going to challenge agriculture and livestock production, and it will impose upon this department the responsibility of developing strategies and technologies to deal with that changing climate so that we can continue to be an extraordinary agricultural producer. All of this is in the context of a continued challenging time for budgets. We are faced, as everyone knows, with an overall number that Congress has agreed to for the 2015 budget. We also are cognizant of the fact that if things do not change, we'll be faced with significant sequester cuts in 2016. And we're focusing on all of this work with a reduced workforce that, when I became secretary, was at 103,000 staff years and is now somewhere in the neighborhood of 98,000 staff years. Fortunately, this department has been proactive through its Blueprint for Stronger Service. And the budget that we published today, I believe, has sort of the blueprint for Stronger Service 2.0. In an effort to try to deal with these challenges. So all of this requires us to focus on reform and results, on creating opportunity, and investing in innovation. In a short, this is an ROI budget, and I want to talk about that in just a few minutes. I think this budget meets the requirements of producing results, supporting reform, expanding new opportunities, and investing in innovation. And it does so while spending less money than last year in both the discretionary and mandatory accounts. In fact, this budget will be somewhere between $400 and $500 million less on the discretionary side than when I became secretary. Let me focus on what this budget will do. First of all, it continues to invest in the Farm Bill safety net and the credit requirements that are important to beginning farmers and socially disadvantaged farmers. This budget will help to fund 40,000 loans, 85% of which will go to beginning farmers and socially disadvantaged farmers. It obviously provides a continued commitment to crop insurance coverage of what will be estimated at $63 billion worth of crops, and it will assist and aid in the implementation of the Farm Bill safety net provisions, whether it's the revenue or price loss processes. In conservation, the budget will support 25 million acres of CRP land. It will add an additional 23 million acres to an already record level of conservation acres in our EQIP and CSP program. And it will allow us to begin implementation of the regional partnerships called for in the Farm Bill, an exciting opportunity for us to leverage the financial resources of the federal government with other partners to expand conservation. In the area of rural development, I'm excited about the opportunity to use our business development programs to support somewhere between 35 and 45,000 new jobs or retaining those jobs in rural areas with a particular emphasis on a new opportunity in the bioproduct manufacturing area. Local and regional food systems, which has been a focus of this administration, will continue to expand beyond the 65 food hubs that we've seen in the last several years and a nearly 50% increase in farmers markets. And we'll continue to aggressively promote agricultural trade, direct assistance to somewhere between $4 and $5 billion of trade activity will help to support another several thousand jobs in addition to stabilizing farm income. 163,000 home loans or refinance loans will be financed in this budget. And community facilities, education, public safety, and healthcare will be improved to the extent that perhaps as many as 10 million rural residents will see improved service. This budget will also protect and help to develop markets. The APHIS budget is slightly increased, which will allow it to continue to do its work in securing and protecting $165 billion of livestock, poultry, and specialty crops. In the area of food safety, we'll continue to focus on the Salmonella plan. We are encouraged by the fact that we've seen a significant drop in illnesses related to the products that we inspect. Based on the most recent data, 11% drop, about 52,000 fewer illnesses than previous. We want to see, obviously, that continue. This budget will adequately fund WIC. We'll support SNAP and our school meal programs. We should see an increase in school breakfast as a result of this budget. This budget also, I think, focuses on expanded opportunity. There are a number of examples of that in this budget, but I'm going to focus on three for my opening remarks. We are financing the Healthy Food Financing Initiative, which is authorized under the Farm Bill. This should allow us to begin more aggressively partnering with the Treasury Department and Health and Human Services to address food deserts in both rural and urban areas. The budget calls for the creation of a new rural corps, which will be 150 highly trained technical experts in rural development who will focus their time and effort on extremely impoverished areas of rural America, extending our Strike Force initiative and the Promise Zone efforts. And we'll do expanded research in forest-based products, researching and developing new products which will allow us to do a better job of maintaining our forests and using the wood that's produced from better restoration and resilience efforts. The budget will invest in innovation. Excited about the opportunity to make the case to Congress for the development of three innovation institutes, one focused on antimicrobial research, extraordinarily important as we deal with trying to deal with livestock diseases and illnesses, reducing our reliance on the use of vaccines and so forth to make sure that we are not developing additional problems for both animals and people. This research is extraordinarily important given our focus on the utilization of appropriate utilization of vaccines and so forth with treating livestock. A second institute will be focused on pollinator health. Everyone knows that we are seriously concerned about the ability of our lands to support pollinators because they're so critically important to agriculture. And also an innovation institute focused on the bio-based product manufacturing development, which will help to create jobs. Innovation will also be rewarded, I think, in terms of what we're trying to do with our ARS facilities, modernizing them with a particular emphasis on poultry disease. We once again ask Congress to consider the establishment and development of a Southwest Poultry Disease Lab in Georgia. This is part of the President's Growth Opportunity and Security Fund. That fund also calls for additional research dollars, and these research dollars lead to additional licensing agreements that are income producing, as well as new patents. About 388 licensing agreements are currently supported by the research that's done at USDA, and in the last 5 years, several hundred patents have been developed. This budget, I think, also focuses on a series of reforms, and I'll touch on three or four of those reforms. Some press has already been given to a new way of funding forest fire suppression. 45 million homes in 70,000 communities are connected to the wildland-urban interface. With the increased dryness, increased hazardous material buildup, Our forest fires have become more intense, and the fire season has been extended and is longer. This has put a tremendous stress on the budget for the Forest Service. In the past, you might spend up to 13 to 15% of the budget on fire suppression. Today, it's close to 40%. We have to treat fires, particularly these very intense, long, more expensive fires, as the natural disasters that they are, and developing a system where we don't continue to take money out of the restoration resiliency funds and maintenance funds creates uncertainty in that budget and doesn't allow us to do a good enough job of reducing that hazardous fuel. What we are proposing is to create a way in which we will fund 70% of the 10-year average and create a mechanism and system for the more expensive fires, the more dangerous fires, the long, they're very expensive fires would be funded sort of off budget in a way that will allow us not to have to transfer money in and out of accounts as we have been doing in the past. This budget also creates a new vision and an expanded vision for our Farm Service Agency offices. As we embrace new technologies and as farmers become used to doing work at home with their computers, and as we see advances in MIDAS and in the Conservation Streamlining Initiative, the question becomes, what will FSA offices be in the future? And our vision is that they will be a place where farmers and ranchers can go to see about additional opportunities, a better understanding of what rural development programs might help create new market opportunities, what conservation opportunities there may be with ecosystem markets and the like. We want that FSA office to be a model service agency office, and so we are calling for a consolidation of a number of offices, some of which currently do not have any full-time employees, and some of which have a small number of full-time employees, and using those resources to help this redesign of the nearly 2,000 FSA offices we have across the country. This budget also calls for continued focus on process improvement and on the Blueprint for Stronger Service. Departments are going to be required to absorb the payment of GSA rental payments in their overall budget, as opposed to having a separate line item as in the past. This is really going to put a focus in an effort on our part to utilize our space, particularly in the capital area, the D.C. area, more effectively and more efficiently. We think there are opportunities to save a significant resource and actually create potentially a better working environment through better space utilization, and this budget will drive that effort. And finally, in rural development, we are providing rental assistance to nearly 285,000 households. We want to continue to be able to do that, but the reality is that we've got to right-size our rental assistance programs. When Congress changed the way in which we fund rental assistance, so now it is almost all annually funded, it created a great stress on that budget. And so we're asking Congress to give us the tools to be able to, over a period of time, more efficiently and more effectively monitor and utilize rental assistance in a way that doesn't create a significant budget stress. In the past, we've had to, again, rob Peter to pay Paul because of this ongoing increased responsibility because of the way in which Congress has changed the funding of rental assistance, and we want to be able to sort of take the pressure off the rest of the budget and do it in a thoughtful and careful way. So this budget, I think, accepts the challenges that this department faces. It focuses on results that matter and places that matter. It focuses on creating new and additional opportunity in rural areas and to help revitalize that rural economy. And I think it makes a significant investment in innovation, which is going to be helpful to agriculture and to rural America. So we are anxious to visit with Congress about their priorities and work with Congress as we work through the budget process.